With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On this week's episode, Spider-Man Across the Universe trailer reaction. We have a breakdown. Also, Hawkeye episode 3 and being the Ricardo special review. For the Hub on Hollywood, I'm James.
I'm Jamie. And James, the Spider-Verse is tingling. Everyone out there who is just loving being a part of it is so, so excited. I know my social media was kind of blowing up with it. I think yours was too. So
yeah.
We're going to go ahead and watch this. For the first time, neither you or I have seen this trailer. So Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, this is the sequel to the cartoon version featuring Miles Morales, starring Miles Morales.
Right.
And this is going to be part one of a two-part sequel here. So very exciting. And I'm ready to watch it when you are.
Okay, let's go. 3, 2, and 1.
Meanwhile, in another universe. Another universe.
Yeah.
All right.
More Post Malone.
We got Miles Morales
still
chilling in his
song.
Bedroom. Things are floating around him. You don't make it easy, no. Portal is opening up above him.
Miles!
It's like we have Gwen Stacy.
Whoa. Whoa. Gwen, how did she... How did you get... How have you been?
It's a long story. Is this
Miles looking a little bit older?
It is, but my dorm
trying to pick
room
up his dirty room.
Very adult.
Right. No, of course.
He's in college now. Okay.
What? No.
That
no.
Good.
Haley Steinfeld, voice of Gwen Stacy.
I missed you too.
Okay. So, what are you doing here? I thought I'd never see you again.
Want to get out of here?
I'm grounded.
Bummer. Is Spider-Man grounded?
Oh, that's cool.
She's standing on the side of the building outside of his room.
You can't ground Spider-Man.
No. And they're traveling through time and space.
So Spider-Man's going into different dimensions, looks like it. Or universes. Oh, this is crazy. The style's insane. Spider-Man 2099.
Now he's in a futuristic world.
Pete's getting it. So Miles Morales was very on the other end of that butt whooping.
Part one.
Okay. Initial
All
thoughts.
Right. All right. Coming out October 7th, 2022. Initial thoughts. I am so excited. I'm so excited. The first one I thought was as close to a perfect movie as you could possibly get. It's like Princess Bride. In that first animated Spider-Man movie here featuring Miles Morales. So I'm 100% on board, extremely excited. I like that they've aged up the characters a little bit. Some time has gone by, but the chemistry between these two characters is great, are great. And just the style of it, the look of it, and the story, the first time around was very solid. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see them traveling across the Spider-Verse, especially now that we're getting the multiverse with
right.
our MCU Spider-Man, Tom Holland. It's going to be interesting to see how Miles Morales is traveling across the Spider-Verse. I'd love to see him interacting with Tom Holland at some point. I know that's never going to happen, but...
Hey, you never know if Tom Holland gets... If Tom Holland could theoretically fall into a universe where it looks like Miles, when he was going through different universes, his own visual makeup changed to match that universe's look, like more comic in one. And then, we have Shameik Moore reprising his role as Miles Morales. Hailee Steinfeld, who is huge in the MCU right now. Of course, she is Kate Bishop on Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. She plays, is coming back as Gwen Stacy. Oscar Isaac. So at the very end of Spider-Man Into the Multiverse, we see for a few minutes Miguel O'Hara. That's Spider-Man 2099, voiced by Oscar Isaac, where they ended up doing the Spider-Man pointing at the other Spider-Man meme. And it looks like in this one, Gwen is recruiting Miles for help. And for some unknown reason at this time, Spider-Man 2099 is really going after Miles Morales and really giving him the beatdown. It looks like he had the upper hand during that whole exchange. And so it looks like he's in charge, or he's capable of going through different universes. So he may be acting like a universe time cop of some sort. So, I haven't read the comics of Spider-Man 2099, but apparently it's a very popular series that's had different versions. They've had like 40 plus copies, and there's other other products that characters appeared in. So pretty popular. He's a half Irish, half Mexican person, again, living in the future. I'm really excited about this. No real plot revealed, so that's interesting. No. And hopefully they do keep some things, tight and under the covers, so we don't get too many spoilers. Unlike other Spider-Man movie that's coming out soon.
Exactly. Unlike the No Way Home that's coming out in a couple of short weeks. I think, two and a half short weeks from now?
Right.
Tom Holland just got signed on for another trilogy of Spider-Man films. So maybe we'll have the Spider-Verse continue to intersect with itself and across itself. So that's really exciting, from into the Spider-Verse to across the Spider-Verse. I'm interested to see if there are plot lines that will intersect with the MCU and with the explanation of how that Spider-Verse exists, since we now know that, Sinister Six is coming through, all of these other Spider-Men, do exist. So very exciting, James. I love it. I love it. And this is Sony. So Sony, who, owns the Spider-Man, so this is Sony's take on their independent storytelling of Spider-Man, whereas they've kind of leased MCU, Spider-Man to MCU is a part of the greater properties there. Do you have a take on Sony's role in this?
Well, Sony, again, Sony doesn't have a great track record, especially with when they're trying to build the Amazing Spider-Man series with Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. So not great at making the live action ones, but they actually not only made a great Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie with its original story, because obviously it's based off comics, but translating it into this format, not only for the big screen, but also creating this new technology to be able to make the visual effects and make the movie, or give the movie its sense and style that people love. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely love that they're continuing this, and it looks like they're pushing the boundaries more so with this new technology. So got to give Sony credit for that. And then, and when it comes to the MCU version with Tom Holland, after, I'm sure, the multiverse, after No Way Home, we are going to be seeing potential going back to the universes of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. And so that's again, more rumors. People, kind of like they wish they can go back and kind of redeem the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universe. Mm-hmm. No, but a lot of Spider-Man cool stuff. Last thing I wanted to mention about Spider-Man is Corridor Crew. They're this very popular YouTube channel, and they do VFX, like reaction, stuntman reaction, and animation kind of breakdowns. A great channel. If you're not following them already, you have to. But they just came out with a Spider-Man rated R. And so what they do is they use video from the movies, and they use visual effects to pretty much tell a different story, or kind of make it so what would happen if this was happening in the real world, like rated R, you see the blood, the guts of if Spider-Man punches somebody, like, going to be a real real mess. And so they make that look really fun, and they create that. Anyway, they just came out with a new video on that, Spider-Man 2 VFX, you know, rated R. So go check out that. A lot of good Spider-Man content today on this weekend. But let's talk about another thing I watched that's coming out in a few weeks, or rather in 1 week for theaters, is Being the Ricardos. Are you a big fan of I Love Lucy?
I'm a huge fan of I Love Lucy. A part of the reason that Desi is Desi is because of Desi Arnaz. So obviously, you know, he's Cuban, we're Cuban. That was the main point of pride there with Desi Arnaz. But obviously, I Love Lucy is a classic. All of the comedy is, it stands up even today. As just so well done and incredible comedy. And of course, it's a classic. It's like, I love Lucy. Everybody loves Lucy. I love Lucy. You love Lucy. So tell me about what is this project? What did you watch?
Yeah, so Being the Ricardos, written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, looks at a week's span of events that happened behind the scenes of I Love Lucy. So this isn't like I Love Lucy the movie with the characters of Lucy, Fred, Ethel, and Ricky. This is behind the scenes. And so we have Lucille Ball, who's played by Nicole Kidman, Ricky Ricardo, Desi Arnaz, played by Javier Bardem. J.K. Simmons, he plays William Frawley, also known as Fred Mertz, and Nina Arianda plays Vivian Vance, also known, and the actor she portrays as Ethel Mertz. This is a really great film. I will say initially, when I first heard that Nicole Kidman was cast to portray Lucille Ball, I didn't think, like, okay, I'm not sure she looks very similar to her. I don't see it. But after about 5 minutes or so after the movie started, and after watching some trailers and some key scenes, Nicole Kidman does a fantastic job kind of falling into or becoming Lucille Ball. I think her voice, I think she does a very great job portraying Lucy's voice, not only the movie character, the TV character, but also the actress, going back and watching interviews with her. I think she nails her voice very well. And so I think that's what, you know, solidifies Nicole Kidman is doing a very good job portraying her. Like I said, this movie takes place during a span of a week when Lucy is accused of being a communist. Back in the 50s, during the Red Scare, anybody who was potentially labeled a communist back then, you're pretty much blacklisted. And so her being accused of being a communist put the entire show in jeopardy, and it shows like the series of events and the stress that happens between all the characters, including Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. This movie is I recommend it. It's a really good movie. It's coming out on Amazon Prime on December 10th, and then it's coming out in theaters on December 10th, and coming out on Amazon Prime on December 21st. But it shows like the real relationship between Lucy, Desi, their tumultuous relationship. Though they were still very much in love with each other, and it showed like the actors who played Fred and Ethel, they didn't like each other, and so they go into like the behind the scenes and kind of like the reading of the script and everything, and it shows like, you know, what it was really like making that show, but it's it is funny that still knowing that, you know, despite all the controversies or like the inner conflict of making the show, watching actual episodes of I Love Lucy, they are those characters. Those are those people, and you don't see anything else. And so, so watching a few clips, I'm still laughing, but, I highly recommend it.
I feel that, James. I feel that. I mean, even today, you know, growing up in Miami, being called a communist is like the worst possible thing. And it's like still a thing.
Right.
So, but I met, you know, back then during the Red Scare and at the height of the Cold War, it was obviously the worst. So that's interesting. I'd love to see that perspective.
Yeah, for those who don't know, and I won't go deep into the history, but basically, Lucille Ball was actually registered as a communist, and so when that was discovered,
really?
when that was discovered, people were accusing her of being, of being that. But then she testified before Congress. She said that, you know, her grandfather was actually a hardcore communist, and she and her mother only registered as that to appease him. And like, you know, he was old, he was dying. You know, they just did that to appease him, and they claimed.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That, you know what, like, I'm full-blooded American, and I do not subscribe to that. And it shows, again, the inner conflict. Like, even the other cast members played by, including, as I mentioned, J.K. Simmons, who does a really good job in this movie. But it does, you know, add more friction between the cast also. So, you know, Lucy said, you know, that's the story that Lucy says, you know, I'm not communist. I voted for Ike Eisenhower in the last election. And so, but the reason why she did that was for family reasons. But again, just even still knowing the history, or even if you did or didn't, the story is very interesting. Again, Nicole Kidman becomes Lucille Ball. So I thought, I was pleasantly surprised by her portrayal. So go watch it. December 10th in theaters, December 21st on Amazon Prime.
That's really fascinating, James. That's really cool. I can't wait to check that out. But you know what we want you to check out? Check out...
What?
Hawkeye. have you been checking out Hawkeye?
I have checked out Hawkeye.
Yes! So it's the latest MCU Disney Plus show that's out there right now. We're trying to catch up on the episodes. So we are up to... Was it episode 3?
Yeah. And in this episode, we get more backstory, background information regarding Echo, villain at this point of the story, the villain of Hawkeye. And so we get a backstory of her back in school. We find out that, of course, she is deaf. We already know that. But as a child, it shows how she and her father tried hiding it from other classmates and other people, so they wouldn't treat her differently, and she could adapt to the world of both the hearing and the impaired. So we see this backstory kind of getting, like, you start sympathizing with this Echo character, which makes sense if Disney Plus is going to be releasing a spinoff of Echo. So, you know, they want to make a likable character. So we get more backstory of that, and then we fall into Clint and Kate Bishop, you know, continuing on their journey. We don't have to go straight into the weeds, but one thing that this episode is getting a lot of praise for is this continuous one-shot car scene, this car chase in this episode.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of Children of Men, or I'm not sure if you've seen that movie, but they had this really great one-shot scene where, you know, this car's being chased and they're firing and shooting. This is basically what we're seeing in this one. Kate Bishop, she's in charge of... after escaping a warehouse, because they were tied up in the last episode, you know, she's in charge of taking care of the henchmen in all their vehicles with different type of bows. And so that was fun to see Hawkeye and his what do you call it? What do you call that? What do you put
a
arrows
quiver.
In?
A quiver.
A quiver. Look at that. You're an expert. So that was really fun because that's really comic-y, very comic bookish. And so that's cool that they were able to adapt it and make it make sense and make it look cool in live action.
Okay, so I would say, I just wanted to say they did an incredible job of bringing us into the perspective of these characters multiple times. They drew us in both physically and sensorily. Is that a word? Auditorily. You know, we were talking about Echo's backstory, which kind of parallels Kate Bishop's backstory. I don't know if you noticed. So they've both been trained from a young age to fight. Although Echo's had more to overcome by being deaf and missing a foot, and she was raised by a single dad who was down on his luck. He was one of the sweatsuit guys. But anyways, we see Hawkeye and his hearing aid. I thought that was really interesting because... when he can't hear, we can't hear. The audience can't hear. And when
Echo
can't hear...
That was cool. That was a cool part.
Right. And we see how Echo also has to read lips and that she's not hearing. And how when they're tied up and Echo comes out to talk to Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, that she notices the hearing aid, right? And she has him untied so that he can sign to her. And when he says, "I'm not deaf... I'm just hard of hearing," she suggests that, hey, you should ditch the hearing aid and just be deaf. Just be deaf. And that would be her advice to him, right? And it comes to be very good advice because she destroys his hearing aid in the escape. and he has to manage without being able to hear. And, you know, fortunately, he works very well with Kate Bishop in that escape scene. But it's great because you are there with him. You are hearing what he does not hear. You know what I mean? And in the end, when his son calls and Kate has to help him hear, you know, help him tell him what his son is saying because he can't hear him on the phone. That's just, it's really emotional and it brings you right in. So they did a great job of perspective, drawing you in, and that chase scene like you were talking about. Like, we are sitting in the back seat as we're pulling out of the driveway and we're being chased by henchmen. And you can see the trucks and the cars all around us and the camera perspective is spinning and spinning. And then the camera comes out of the car with Kate as she's shooting those arrows. So that's going to be my major kudos on this episode. But James, I think you and I have the same criticism as far as the fight scene goes, right?
Yeah, because I will credit the episode for doing that really good, and very exciting car chase scene. But one thing I didn't like, so if this series had opened with this episode, or with the feeling that I left with this episode, if it had happened in the first one, I'm not sure if I would keep watching the show, because there were definite highs in this episode, including the car chase one scene, but the whole warehouse scene where they're stuck. They were tied up, you know, taped and on these animatronic, you know, little kitty rides. And the escape and the fighting choreography, I wasn't impressed with that whole sequence, because it was very easy for Clint to escape. Like, the henchmen, like these 20 people are like 10 feet away, and he's able to, you know, break free from his tape and then run off and run off to another part of the warehouse and then one by one take out the people. Well, again, so that kind of rubbed me the wrong way of like, that's kind of comical of how bad these henchmen really are. It makes them look very inept. And then when they went to the warehouse area where there are like these shelves and, and these row of shelves or whatnot, and I don't know. There was something about the vibe of or the choreography. I really didn't enjoy it, and I didn't think it met MCU standards. And that's weird to say, but you know, you get used to some really good fighter, really good choreography. But for some reason, this whole sequence took me out of it.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like Home Alone. It felt like they were being kind of sticky on purpose.
Not fun way.
Yeah, it felt misplaced. Like, you got to pick a speed. Is it serious or is it comedic? It was somewhere in the middle. So I think maybe that's why it felt not quite right. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, what do you think about Uncle? When Echo is young and she's training in the dojo, and we see that her father is one of the tracksuit guys, and the dad says, hey, be good to Uncle, you know, behave for Uncle. And we see this person off screen who comes up and pinches her cheek. A lot of people are saying that, hey, that is Kingpin, that Uncle is Kingpin.
Oh, yeah.
And her translator also later in the episode says, hey, I hope that Uncle doesn't find out about this. I hope Uncle doesn't get mad. So it sounds like she's probably operating under Kingpin, and that he is the one higher up, I guess, the villain chain when it comes to the tracksuit guys. But Echo is operating on her own here, because we see in her backstory that Ronan was responsible for the death of her father, or so she believes. So that is added tension there. Was Hawkeye, was Clint really the Ronin that killed her father, or what is happening here? But it's spurring her to operate outside of, I guess, the normal channel that she would under Uncle. And a lot of people believe that Uncle is Kingpin.
Yeah, I have seen that also, and I think it's a very good theory. I think it's a very plausible theory. Not to give away any spoilers for any future upcoming Marvel movies, but there's been rumor that there may be a connection between the MCU and Netflix's Marvel, and so that includes Daredevil, that includes of course Kingpin's in that, Punisher, potentially Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. But I think from what, you know, rumors are out there, there is a very big chance that we're going to be seeing the Netflix MCU Marvel merge, because mm-hmm. that was the original plan. That was mm-hmm. the original plan, to have events that happened in the MCU movies to have actual real world effects on the smaller scale when it came to like the underground gangs. And this would fit in perfectly with where Hawkeye is going, kind of following the underbelly of these of the syndicate or of several of these syndicates. So that is possible.
Like we talked about before, it's more human. This is a more human story here. It deals with just crime and the gangs and the syndicates and things like that. Whereas the other Disney Plus MCU shows have been more magic and powers and stuff like this. So this is more grounded, definitely, and it continues to be.
So let us know what you think about episode 3 of Hawkeye. Again, there was really high highs, but also some low lows that, again, kind of turned me off. I don't know why I'm reacting so hard to this episode. I apologize. Maybe it's just me. But let us know what you think about
Hawkeye.
You're
just mean, maybe.
Yeah, I am just mean. I'm in one of those moods. No, but Spider-Man Across the Universe, let us know what you think about the trailer. This is the much-awaited sequel, and it looks like it's going to be part one of two movies that they're breaking this up into. Also, Being the Ricardos. I Love Lucy. You Love Lucy. Do you love Lucy? Do you love Nicole Kidman? Portraying Lucille Ball. Let us know when you do watch it. Come back and let us know down below what you think. But you can find us on the social medias, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Hub on Hollywood. If you are watching us on YouTube, give us a like, give us a follow, give us a subscribe if you like what you see. And you can also listen to us on the road wherever you go by listening to us on any of the major podcasting streaming services. All right. Jamie, I understand we have some casting call news, right?
Yes, we do. We have a number of productions that are still filming in and around the New England region. One of the big ones that is actually wrapping up. It's wrapping up this week. I think they might have one or two more castings and that's it. It's wrapping up next week. Is I Wanna Dance With Somebody. Oh, that one.
Very nice. Those were good moves.
Thank you. It's the Whitney Houston biopic. That is through Boston Casting. So if you want to sign up for that, there's only 1 week left, but Boston Casting is the biggest casting company in and around New England. So you're going to want to go to their website, sign up for that so that you can get the emails ASAP as soon as they come out so that you know exactly when to hop in on those opportunities. Kicking off with Slate Casting. Besides I Want to Dance With Somebody, Slate Casting is looking for people who love golf. If that sounds like you, that there's plenty of you. They're looking to cast golfers with a great swing, a fun personality, for a TV commercial. So if you have a terrible swing and you're grumpy, they don't want you. But if you've got a great swing and you like to have a good time, Slate Casting is looking for you for a TV commercial for a major sporting goods store. They're looking for men and women between the ages of 20 and 75. This is a non-union gig, but it pays very well. So you're going to want to send a current photo, your contact information, a brief description of your golfing experience, including your handicap, and where you are located. You must be in the New England or New York area. You're going to send all of that to Slate Casting Sports, with an S at the end, at gmail.com. Things are slowing down a little bit in the winter, James. It's tougher to record and film movies out in the snow and the elements. That is not to say that there are not still plenty of projects out there. So keep coming back to us here on the Hub on Hollywood. We will keep you updated on how you can get your lovely faces on the silver screen.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. Again, comment down below, give us a like, give us a share, give us some love. Before this week's episode of the Hub on Hollywood, I'm James.
I'm Jamie. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.